Do you know the difference between hope and optimism? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday. By this point in the week, if you're starting to feel overwhelmed by your duties, obligations, jobs, responsibilities, please laugh today. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Folks, you got to laugh. It's really important, especially on days when you're feeling overwhelmed. Make sure you laugh today, and if you can share a laugh with somebody, you've made a friend. Do you know the difference between hope and optimism? Hope is when you count on God. Keep promises, and optimism is when you think that you can pull off the situation by yourself, when you can make it better, where you and you alone have the ability to make something better, and that's just not the case. You know, Wednesdays are dedicated to Christmas. Every Wednesday this year, I want to celebrate Christmas. Why? Because Christmas gives us hope, and we desperately need hope. And the way I celebrate Christmas is to share with you from a book called Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas, written by Ace Collins. And the song that I want to share with you, the history of the song, the background of the song, is a very, very popular song, one I like very much, and I hope you do too. It's called Mary, Did You Know? He writes, "No Christmas song written in recent times has provoked the kind of response that Mary, Did You Know? Has. Buddy Green's simple and touching melody certainly deserves some of the credit for the song's popularity and acceptance. But most people who hear the song are really drawn to the unique perspective found in Mark Lowry's dynamic lyrics. Yet this song's gift to the world might have been lost forever if a set of loving parents had not chosen to believe in the promise and potential God placed in their child. Mark Lowry is one of the most interesting personalities in gospel music. A singer with a Gaither vocal band, a humorist, and a songwriter. Mark never stops moving. He seems to have the energy of 3 fifth graders and the curiosity of a dozen 4-year-old children. Probably because the Lord knows the world couldn't handle more than one Mark Lowry at a time, there is no one like him. One observer called Lowry a raccoon in human form, and everyone wonders how his parents ever kept up with him. Yet it is his parents, once run ragged by Mark's energy, that deserve a big part of the credit for this man's greatest song. Mark started singing almost before he learned to talk. As a preschooler, he was already belting out solos in the grade school choir. By third grade, he was singing the lead part in the Easter musical. Yet even though he constantly seemed to be in the school spotlight and living in the perfect American family environment at home, there were rough waters and some tough times just ahead. Mark stood out in teachers' eyes for more than his singing. He was often a problem in the classroom. During his first years of elementary school, Lowry was diagnosed as hyperactive and placed on medication. At about the same time, it became apparent that the boy had absolutely no athletic ability. To many adults and kids, Mark appeared to be little more than an energetic klutz, an out-of-control mini-tornado. Rather than allow their son to be sidetracked and dismissed as a hopeless cause, Mark's parents made sure that this quote-unquote curse was looked at as a blessing. They emphasized the positive. The Lowrys assured Mark that God had a plan for his life and that his uniqueness was a part of it. Instead of trying to make him act just like all the other kids, the Lowrys allowed Mark to exploit his curiosity and his energy. He loved performing, so they put him on every stage that would take him, everything from church programs to community musicals. It was at the National Quartet Convention where Lowry not only received his greatest break, but also his calling. At the convention, Lowry sang in front of 15,000 gospel music fans. The audience couldn't get enough of him. They loved everything about the funny, talented kid. Seeing the potential that once only his folks had seen, Benson Records signed Mark. Over the next few years, he cut inspirational albums with the likes of London Symphony Orchestra and was so busy with his musical career that he had to finish junior high and high school via correspondence courses. In 1984, Mark was living in Houston. Feeling blessed to have Lowry in his flock, Mark's pastor asked him to write the program for the Living Christmas Tree Choir presentation. The group traditionally sang familiar holiday carols, so Lowry's job was to write the bridges that connected one song to another. It was while he was working on the project that Mark considered what it would have been like to have been Jesus' mother. "When I wrote this thing about Mary," Mark explained, "I began by thinking I was interviewing her on her thoughts of being a mother to Jesus. A couple of the lines I wrote really stood out, like, 'When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.' I just thought this needed to be a song." Keeping the perspective of a reporter doing a story on Jesus from Mary's viewpoint, Mark penned a poem that sent chills up his spine. Still, taking those powerful lyrics and turning them into a full-blown song was a bigger challenge than even he could have expected. Although he gave the words to a solid music writer, he wasn't happy with the results. The melody didn't have the right feel. Following "Mary, Did You Know" away, Mark decided to wait on the Lord's timing rather than put his lyrics to music that failed to move him. In 1988, after Gary McSpadden left the Gaither vocal band, Bill Gaither was looking for a replacement to fill the void in his quartet. After watching a video of Mark Lowry on stage, not only was Gaither impressed with Mark's singing, he thought the young man could bring a great deal of Christian humor to the group's performances. When Bill called, Mark packed his bags. Mark had been with the band for 2 years when Buddy Green joined them. A talented musician, Buddy was also a songwriter who was beginning to hit stride and produce some very strong work. Mark decided to share "Mary, Did You Know" with Buddy. Rather than pull Green to one side and share the story behind the song, Mark wrote a short note over the top of the lyrics. "Buddy, here are some God-inspired words. Please add some beautiful music and make it a profitable hit." The memo was meant as a joke, but Green took both the note and his job seriously. He set the lyrics aside for a couple of weeks and then went to work. When he finished, he called Mark on the phone and sang the song to him. Lowry loved it, and within a week, they had put together a jam box demo to give to one of their favorite artists. Their pick for the song was impressed as well. When "Mary, Did You Know" was originally cut by Christian sensation Michael English, the writing duo felt blessed, but they really didn't expect anyone else to jump on the bandwagon. Then country singer Kathy Mattea heard the Lowry Green number and recorded it next. Scores of other acts quickly took the song into the studio, including Natalie Cole. Thanks to this exposure, "Mary, Did You Know" was soon adopted by choirs and soloists. Even President Bill Clinton declared it was his favorite Christmas song. For the first time in decades, a new Christmas song had become an important facet of traditional holiday celebrations. For this first time ever, Southern gospel music had given the world a Christmas carol. There can be no doubt that Mark Lowry was born different. The things that make him unique, his energy and curiosity, could have held him back like so many others. He could have been forced to conform, to be like everyone else. Yet because his problems were viewed as gifts by his parents, Mark thrived. Looking at the world through his unique, God-given perspective led him to think of one of the world's most familiar stories in a new light. "Mary, Did You Know," a song like no other Christmas carol ever penned, written about a mother like no other, came from the hand of a man like no other. In the words, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb, and this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? O Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? O Mary. I love that song. Have you heard it sung? I mean, because just reading the words does not grab you as much as listening to the melody that goes with the words. Truly a special blessing for the Christmas season. And Christmas is not a day on a calendar. It's something we live all year long if you have the Spirit. The powerful Spirit of Christmas, giving and loving and compassion. Okay, today's food for thought comes from J.M. Barrie. Life is a long lesson in humility. Right? It really is. If you want to become humble, genuinely humble, you have to live life to the fullest. And life will keep you humble. Our prayer partners today are the people in the Congress, the men and the women. They are criticized a great deal. They often don't live up to the ethical standards that they're called to, but they play an important role in our country, and we have to pray for them. Dear God, bless the men and women of our Congress. Keep them safe from harm. Keep them safe from being seduced by their power, by the money that flows through their hands. Help them to practice what they preach. Dear God, bless the men and women of our Congress. Amen. All right, here's today's small attempt to make you smile. One day a psychiatrist asked his woman patient, "Do you wake up grumpy every day?" The woman said, "No, some days I let him sleep in." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why do I want you to contact me? Well, I like to hear from my listeners. It's such a shot in the arm for me to know that people are actually listening to my program. I want you to send your prayer intentions. Do you have a special intention, something heavy on your heart, some issue you got to deal with that's really, really challenging, some upcoming situation that could test your faith? Let me pray with you and for you. I'll be your prayer partner. If you can help me keep my hospital for the poor and sick open in Oaxaca, Mexico, I'll be greatly appreciative. You know, it's one of the poorest places in Mexico. Please, folks, write a check. Make it to TASH, stands for the Anacetar Hospital. TASH, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And God will bless you. By the way, if you can't catch my show every morning at its regular time, you can listen to it on the internet. Visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. I think you'll really enjoy my website. So we pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee.